It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and football is back across the 21st state. In fact, college football has already been underway for about a week now. Still, the season is early, and so for the rest of the hour today, we are previewing what we can expect from this football season. Joining us now with some insight is Adam Rittenberg, senior writer on college football for ESPN. He's also a journalism professor at DePaul University. Adam, welcome to the 21st show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. Which college team are you rooting for? And what's your favorite part of the college football season? Again, 800-222-9455. All right, Adam, let's start on our home field here at the 21st show. The Illinois Fighting Illini are looking pretty good so far. They had a dominating win against the Western Illinois Leathernecks. Sorry about that, Macomb. How's the team looking under Coach Bielema, as he starts his fifth season?
Yeah, you can call him. He goes by Coach B, but yeah, Brett Bielema's done a great job there at Illinois, really stabilizing this program and now putting them in position for, you know, goals that really weren't thought of as realistic not long ago at that campus, and that's getting into the college football playoff. I mean, they were a preseason top 15 team, as you mentioned, look good in their opener, not surprisingly. You know, they have some really important games this month, beginning this Saturday at Duke. It's a good Duke team. It's not a team that, you know, you think of for football, but they've been a better football program in the last 10, 15 years than they really ever have. And then later this month, they go to Indiana, you know, a team that made the college football playoff, open Big Ten play on September 20th. So those two road games are going to tell us a lot about Illinois. And then, you know, they have some big home contests, obviously, with USC coming in and then Ohio State coming in mid-October. So it's really an exciting time there in Champaign for Illini football fans. You know, they're trying to put together a 10-win season for the second straight year, first time in program history. You know, they've really invested in their roster. They've been able to retain a lot of their really good players from last year, and they have several players that I think will be in conversations for national awards. So a veteran team, a veteran head coach, and, you know, if they can stay healthy, they're going to be a team we're talking about well into September, and or well into November, rather, and possibly into December.
Yeah, as the Big Ten expands to basically be the Venn diagram of the Big Ten and the NCAA become a perfect circle. You've considered Luke Altmyer to be one of the top 25 quarterbacks in the country. Say more about that.
Yeah, Luke's had a really nice career there at Illinois. You know, he was a guy who, you know, and he'll tell you this, grew up as an SEC guy. You know, his father worked for Mississippi State. He grew up in Starkville, Mississippi. He started his college career at Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi, and then ended up transferring to Illinois. And, you know, he's really found his way in the Big Ten Conference and as a member of the Illini, and, you know, had some really efficient numbers last year. You know, not numbers that necessarily blow you away when you look at some of the other top quarterbacks, but he's a trustworthy guy. A guy who, you know, really has gained a lot of confidence and isn't going to flinch in big moments. You saw that, you know, with his performance against Michigan last year, and so in the bowl game against South Carolina. And, you know, I think the key for Illinois is to have a little bit more of an explosive element around him at wide receiver, at running back. But he's a guy that I know the coaching staff has tremendous confidence that he can deliver in those big moments when the schedule will get tougher here beginning this weekend.
You've also noted defensive tackle James Thompson Jr. as a kind of a, would you say, sleeper player, could potentially break out this season. Yeah.
Yeah, James, you know, I do that list of kind of guys that are under the radar. And, you know, Wisconsin fans are certainly familiar with James from his time there, but, you know, hadn't had a chance to contribute yet at Illinois. And, you know, he was a guy that Coach Bielema was really excited about bringing into the program, and having a veteran presence in the middle of the defensive line. It's such an important position. So excited to see what he can do for Illinois. You know, Gabe Jacobs is the headliner on that defensive side of the ball. He's a guy that I think could win National Defensive Player of the Year. He's that good, or at least be in the conversation for those types of awards. But James is another, you know, key contributor with experience for that front seven for Illinois.
Bottom line, do you think we'll see Illinois in the playoffs this year, college football playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, history says no, right? I think it's important to preface that. You know, again, this is a program that has had a good season and then has fallen back. It's happened, you know, several times in the last, you know, 25 years, where, you know, Illinois really broke through in 2001 and won the Big Ten, and then you didn't hear from them for a few years. They went to the Rose Bowl in 2007, but had a really disappointing 2008 season, and it took them a while to get back to respectability. And so I think what Brett's trying to do is to defy history a little bit and say, hey, you know, we have given ourselves a chance to follow up last year's success with an even better team. And we'll see if they can do it. I think they certainly have ingredients, like an experienced quarterback, really good line play. And I think if they can get, you know, that explosive element to be more of a regular presence on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to be in a lot of these big games with a chance to win. So, you know, again, have to say that they've never had a 2 10-win seasons in a row. But if they get to 10 wins with this schedule, I would expect them to be in the college football playoff.
It's interesting because there is that, you know, that weird element of how this works. Can you, for people who haven't been paying attention to college football for a few years or a decade, can you just remind us briefly how the playoffs work?
Right. So the college football playoff is in its second year as a 12-team model, which is three times the number of slots that there used to be, which has really increased the opportunity because, you know, now you don't have to win your conference necessarily. You have to have a profile, which, you know, again, I think it's 10 wins minimum, that says to the selection committee, hey, you know, this team belongs among the field of 12. So the way that it works is the five highest rated conference champions go to the college football playoff, but then there's seven more spots. And, you know, last year the Big Ten had four teams in, you know, which the champion Oregon, the runner up Penn State, Ohio State, which didn't even make the Big Ten championship game, but won the national championship. And then Indiana, which completely came out of nowhere. I mean, Indiana's the losingest program of all time in college football, and yet they made the first 12-team college football playoff. So it really has increased opportunity for schools that, you know, are going to have a hard time winning their conference, have a hard time maybe winning a national championship, but you can at least be part of this playoff now, where at four teams, that was very, very difficult to do.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. We're talking about the college football season with ESPN reporter and DePaul University professor Adam Rittenberg. I want to acknowledge some of the Illinois teams we're not going to be able to get to today. Western Illinois Leathernecks lost against the Illini. They're going against Northwestern on Friday. The Illinois State Redbirds started season with a 35-3 loss against 18th-ranked Oklahoma. Their next game Saturday against the Moorhead State Eagles. Eastern Illinois Panthers beat the Dayton Flyers 24-14. They're facing off against Indiana State on Saturday. And the Salukis of Southern Illinois University overwhelmed the Thomas More College Saints with a 49-3 victory. They go against the Purdue Boilermakers on Saturday. Adam Rittenberg, let's head north. Northern Illinois University, how are they looking this year?
Right. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting model that Coach Thomas Hammack has set up there for NIU. You know, they're a team that still wants to basically build their program the old school way, you know, finding players in and around the Chicago area, around the state, and develop them as best they can. And understanding that they're going to lose some of those really good players to the transfer portal, to move up to, programs that have more resources, more money, essentially. But I think Thomas is really committed to, you know, that old school approach, and, you know, he's as devoted to Northern Illinois as any coach that they've ever had. You know, having played there until a heart condition cut short his career, he was an assistant coach there, and really, really loves the place. And you saw that certainly when they pulled off, you know, maybe the upset of the season in 2024, and they went into Notre Dame and beat the Fighting Irish. And, you know, they've had a number of those types of wins throughout their recent history. You know, now they're trying to stack them this year. They go this week to Maryland on the Friday night. You're trying to beat a Big Ten team, and you know, I think the question is, you know, how are they going to look in their conference in the MAC, which is always wide open, and NIU has shown the ability to win that league even under Thomas Hammack. Are they able to do that again this season? So, you know, it's a different looking team with some of the players going in and out of their program. I think they're always going to be about running the ball and playing defense and field position. He's a guy that knows the place really well, and he knows the league really well. And those are two ingredients that usually lead to some success.
And you mentioned safety Jasper Bealer in that sleeper list I mentioned earlier. What makes him stand out to you?
Yeah, that was a guy that, you know, I saw Thomas at an event in the preseason, Thomas Hammack, and kind of asked him, and I could tell that Thomas was a little hesitant to give me the name because he wanted him to kind of be a secret weapon. But you know, he's a long safety, 6 foot two. You know, usually safeties are more like 5'10", 5'11". But he played at Saginaw Valley State, which is obviously not in the FBS, but was a very productive player for Saginaw Valley. Had 15 pass breakups last year, and then he makes the move up to NIU. So they're excited about what he can do in the back end of their defense. And you know, again, that's a guy that'll be matched up against, you know, pretty good receivers. Maryland always has a really good receiving core under Coach Mike Locksley. So that'll be a fun situation to watch this weekend. And then, you know, they have a week off, and then they go out to Mississippi State. So the next two games, we're really going to see, you know, where Beeler is, where NIU is, and whether they can pull off another one of the, they call them boneyard victories, where they can go and play a team with obviously more resources, part of a bigger conference like Maryland or Mississippi State. And anytime they beat those types of teams, it's added to the boneyard.
You know, you mentioned that idea that Northern is aware they may lose players to the transfer portal. And, you know, there have been so many changes. And this is a very public radio question I'm going to ask you, but
Yeah.
can you just reflect on, like, you know, name, image, and likeness, right? Payments to players now. Just how much the landscape of college football has changed in the past decade or so?
Yeah, it's changed dramatically. I mean, you know, but when I started covering the sport, you know, in the early 2000s, there was always a conversation about would players be paid, but we're very much here, and it's something schools have to deal with and coaches have to deal with, and you know, realizing that you know, there's going to be movement and changes on your roster year to year, and you know, even if a player you know, breaks out and you've developed him and recruited him and nurtured him, you know, he could go and enter the portal and essentially leave for more money, and that's just the reality of the sport. So it's a much more transactional sport. It's a much more like professional sports, you know, whether it's how the rosters are structured or the fact that you have general managers now and personnel departments for all of these teams. You know, before, it was just a recruiting staff, and the coaches were obviously very involved in recruiting, but you didn't have to, you know, structure your budget in a certain way to accommodate the financial needs of your personnel. So it is a very, very different enterprise, even in the last 5, 6 years, than it was previously.
Yeah, I think I was reading something about Bill Belichick has something like 70 new players. I mean, are you rebuilding the team basically every year at some of these programs?
Well, certainly when there's a coaching change, that's fairly common. If they have, you know, 70 new players next year, then, you know, it has
Maybe
not
that's a
gone
problem.
well. And we saw what happened Monday. It was not a good start for the Belichick era. Yeah, I visited with Barry Odom, who's the new head coach at Purdue, not far from the state of Illinois, and he said, I think they had 82 new players. I mean, this is just, you know, but again, I think now it's are you able to figure out who fits and who you can develop and who you can keep? You're going to have to make decisions as a program what you're capable of doing, but then also recognizing that even the desire to keep players and the ability to keep players doesn't guarantee that you actually are going to. It's every player is different. They all have agents. They all have influences in their lives that might, you know, drive them to the portal, even if it's not the best decision for them. You know, we just had 1 week of the college football season, so it's a very limited sample size, but there's already a lot of buzz. You know, University of California, Cal, where I grew up in California, has a young quarterback who had a great debut, and everyone's already talking about where he's going to play next year. Like there's not even in their minds is the possibility that he would actually return to the school that he's playing with right now. And so that's going to be a challenge for Cal, and it'll be a challenge for all the schools in the state of Illinois. When you have a good player, are you able to keep them? But to go back to our original conversation about the Illini, that's a big
Yeah,
reason
briefly.
why they're in the position they're in, is because they were able to retain so many of their best players from the 2024 team.
All right, we'll see what happens. Adam Rittenberg, college football senior writer at ESPN and professor of digital media arts, journalism, and sports communication at DePaul. Thanks so much for sharing your knowledge with us today on the 21st Show.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
That's all the time we have for today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We leave you with the University of Illinois Marching Illini Drumline.